Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
So the people that know me well know that I like a good pen. I'm not a pen collector in that I have dozens of high-end pens, but I do have three or four very nice pens that I really enjoy. And usually two or three times a year I lose one, which often causes the people around me some a bit of anxiety because they know how much I'm wanting to find where that pen went. I don't know. It's just something, some small way in which I, if you will, kind of treat myself to something that I really enjoy. Now, I have a friend. I've known him for 45 years. He's a missionary in Senegal. And he happens to know about my pen fascination. And a year or so ago, he came home and he said, "Hey, Terry, I have a gift for you." And he handed me a pen and I opened it. And here it was, a Mont Blanc pen. Now, if any of you know about Mont Blanc, those are one of the most expensive pens on the planet. Mont Blanc can be as inexpensive as a couple hundred dollars and can go all the way up to thousands. And here he is. He's handing me this Mont Blanc pen, and I couldn't believe it. And I'm smiling ear to ear. I've never had such a pen, nowhere close to something this expensive. And I couldn't believe he'd give me such a wonderful gift, at which point he starts to laugh. And I couldn't get it. And then finally he said, "I found it in a market. It's an imitation Mont Blanc. It cost me $5." Well, we had a good chuckle over the whole thing, and he actually bought me a Mont Blanc barrel to put in it, but you can hardly twist it to ever get the tip of the barrel out to even write with it. It looks like a Mont Blanc. It even has Mont Blanc on it and the special style name on it, but it is a $5 imitation. Maybe tried to convince somebody it was the same as a real Mont Blanc, but I'll tell you what, in the end, it wasn't. It reminded me of those days when Sherry and I lived in New York, and you could go down on the streets of Manhattan, and someone might be selling Rolex watches, and you could get them for $25 and $30, and everybody knew it wasn't actually a Rolex. It was an imitation Rolex. It might look like the real thing. It isn't the real thing. It wouldn't work like the real thing. But if appearance was what you valued, I guess you could put it on your wrist and pretend that you were far more wealthy than you are. Now, I'll get back to that in just a moment. I want to remind you of a scripture that comes in the book of Ephesians. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul writes these words, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing in Christ. It seems to me that what God is saying is that we have everything we need in order to walk out this Christian life. It's already been given to us. It's not something we have to earn or deserve. It's something that comes to us when we express faith in Christ. And the list here is absolutely amazing. I mean, we've been given every spiritual blessing, and then he goes on and talks about that we are holy, we are blameless, we have been loved, we are adopted, we've been predestined. He has given us grace freely given. He talks about forgiveness. He talks about being the poema of God, marked with the Holy Spirit, a deposit of our inheritance. Over and over, he talks about everything that's been given to us in Christ because we belong to Christ. Now, in the midst of that, there is a little phrase that really captured my attention. It comes in verse 19. He's talking about this inheritance that we have, and that Paul's praying that we would really come to grips of understanding the depth of our inheritance, to know how much God loves us, and what is the hope to which we've been called, and what is our inheritance as a holy people. And then he says, "I wish that you would know the incomparably great power that is placed within us because we have faith in Christ." And then he makes this statement, "It's the same power as the mighty strength that God exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms." Now, that phrase has really captured my attention for, wow, several months. Same power as. Do you hear that? That part of this, every blessing that God has given us in order that we can live out the Christian life effectively, part of that includes the ministry of the Holy Spirit deep inside of us. And it's said that we have the same power as that which raised Christ from the dead, living and dwelling inside of us. It's not an imitation. It's not a plastic Mont Blanc or a fake Rolex, but the actual power of God that is inside of us is the power that, well, my goodness, it's been present throughout all creation. And now it's inside of each and every one of us. The power of God that hovered over creation, the power of God that went ahead of Moses in cloud and fire, the power of God that caused the 70 to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the story of the Exodus, the power of God that filled Elijah and Elisha, and all the way into the New Testament, and that which fell upon the disciples in the upper room, and that which gave Paul this incredible ability to work signs and wonders and teach. The Bible says the same power as that is inside each and every one of us. Now, I have to admit, I don't always feel that much power, but by faith I need to understand that that's true. You see, Jesus told his disciples, and it's particularly written in the Gospel of John, that he would send the Holy Spirit to be with them, to be their counselor, to be their helper, to give them power, to help them work signs and wonders, to enable them to bring back all the things that Jesus Christ has taught them. Paul went further in the book of Romans, and he talked about the fact that God has given us the Spirit deep inside, and he cries out, Abba, and he prays prayers for us that we can't even understand. And of course, that passage I've mentioned so many times that comes out of the book of Galatians, that when Jesus came, he came that we might be the children of God, and that we have not only an inheritance, but we have been filled with the Holy Spirit, who cries out inside of us all the time that we are God's children. The same power as. We need to have more confidence in that as a people and recognize that we're not just an ordinary group of folks here. That Jesus has done something far more than supernatural. He's done something suprarational in enabling us to be individuals that are filled with the power of God. That's something that's delightfully breathtaking when you consider that God doesn't just give some people the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purposes, but he gives the Holy Spirit to all of his children that express faith in Christ. That means you, that means me, in order that we can walk out this life of the virtues and values of the kingdom of God. The same power as. Maybe you need to say that out loud. I have the same power as that which raised Christ from the dead. And it lives inside of me. Clark Pinnock once wrote, there had to be, after Jesus' departure, a colony of heaven. I like that, a colony of heaven. That's what our little churches should be, or our big churches and our subgroups and gathering of followers of Christ. We're to be a colony of heaven. Well, listen to what he said. There had to be, after Jesus' departure, a colony of heaven, living the life and power and experiencing the freedom of the kingdom. Okay, that basically is saying that we are to be a colony of heaven who live in the now, the characteristics and qualities of the kingdom to come, of the not yet. Pinnock goes on, Spirit indwells the church as a perpetual Pentecost, and communicates gifts to its members. Spirit ecclesiology focuses not on the quality of the members, but on the power of God at work in and through them. Wow, that's a very powerful statement, and not without controversy, because it says that a church that gathers around the life of the Spirit is not focusing on how wonderful, how holy, how special, how gifted its members are, but instead is focusing on the power of God that is work in and through them. See, ordinary people like me, maybe like you, that the Holy Spirit works through to do amazing demonstrations of the kingdom of God and to compassionately touch those that are broken. I like that phrase, spirit ecclesiology focuses not on the quality of the members. That means that we are often wounded and weak. Some of us wander. Some of us have even lost our sense of wonder, if you will. And yet, when we are a colony of heaven and we give the Holy Spirit room to do what only He can do, people are attracted to the church not because of the quality of the members, but as Pinnock said, because of the power of God is at work through them. Another writer, Michael Welker, once wrote that through the pouring out of the Spirit, God effected a world-encompassing, multilingual, poly-individual testimony to God Himself. Now, in other words, that when God pours out His Spirit, He pours out His Spirit in such a way that it affects the entire globe of people from every ethnic group, from different languages and classes and races, and that it's not about a person's testimony alone, but many people giving testimony to the wonder of Jesus Christ and what God is doing in their lives. This is the excitement of recognizing that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is in fact the power that is working inside of us. I think it's something that we need to, well, if you will, concentrate on. And do you know why? Because the life of the Spirit inside of us, which is that same power, is what animates our relationship with Christ. Clark Pinnock once wrote that everything from spiders to galaxies manifests the power of the Spirit. We just have to have our eyes open. It seems that the Holy Spirit is at work from things as small as cells to giant celebrations, that there's no limit to the signs and wonders the Holy Spirit can do through God's people. And we see this all through Scripture. And what I'm learning is that the ministry of the Holy Spirit works far beyond the constraints that I've put on Him, that it's always something that happens in church. Wait a minute. If the Holy Spirit hovered over creation, that means the Holy Spirit is still very active in creation. And if the Holy Spirit was able to give gifts to people, He continues to give gifts, not only the gifts that are spiritual, gifts in the arts. He's constantly setting people apart in order to demonstrate the wonder of God and the movement of His kingdom all through this world. This is part of the excitement about the fact that we have the same Spirit living within us as that which raised Christ from the dead. That passage, it just really captured the same power as. No imitation, no fake, no knockdown, the same power as that which raised Christ from the dead is at work in each and every one of us. It manifests through our fruits. It manifests through our anointings. It manifests through the gifts of the Spirit. It manifests through the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of prayer. And all of that is available to us. That's why I think this passage is so important from Paul when he says, we have all that we need for life and godliness. The Apostle Paul said the exact same thing in the beginning of one of his letters, that we are not individuals that are lacking. We are individuals that have the very presence of the Holy Spirit inside. Oh, we must never forget the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit that's in work inside of us. As we talked about the last time, we need this quickening that says, I want more. I can feel the mist of the Spirit, but I want to move into the flood of the Spirit. I am grateful for whisper and wind. And maybe I can become more awake. Maybe I can become more aware, more enlivened to the life of the Spirit as I cry out and say, oh, Lord, be with me. I hope these past couple podcasts have, to some degree, ignited you to say, I want more of the Holy Spirit. The promises of Christ around the Spirit, that He would send Him, that He's with us, that He fills us, that He can awaken us and that it is the same power as. That's the key phrase today. You know, when you're out there and you're walking around and temptation comes and trials are there and you're facing difficulties, just take a deep breath and remember the same power as caused Christ to rise from the dead is at work in me. And I get to pray at any time for him to be my helper, my counselor, to anoint me, to empower me. The same power as. It begins by you believing that and then moving forward to live this spirit-animated life that we might give deeper testimony to Christ and be excited about all the gifts that God has given us. Well, I pray God's great blessings on you. I want to remind you to visit our website, our Facebook page. There's a lot of resources that are available there. Also, you could do me a favor if you'd be willing to tell some of your friends about our podcasts. It's kind of exciting to see how many individuals are beginning to listen to these podcasts. I run into people from time to time, and it's a great encouragement to my own heart to know that in some small way, it's an encouragement to people's lives and hearts. Don't forget, we have a lot of events coming up, and we sure would be excited if you'd come to one of them. It won't be long. We'll be in Colorado doing the Formational Prayer Seminar at the World Prayer Center. If you live out there, look us up. We'd love to spend some time with you. Remember, God's face is always shining upon you.